welcome to another episode of the Sunday Service Podcast. Today's episode is all about personal branding. I was very intrigued about interviewing Sandy for this interview because as an entrepreneur, it's kind of tricky to figure out how to balance your personal brand and your business. And this was intriguing to me and I wanted to learn more. So I brought on Sandy to teach us a little bit about personal branding because she's a personal branding strategist. So Sandy, please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your expertise.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on this podcast and for just having a platform for us to share stories. I'm Sandy. I am a personal brand strategist, and I help entrepreneurs, executives, and companies articulate the right message to get it to the right community. My journey didn't always start in personal branding. I had a career in banking prior to this that I spent about 5 years in before making the transition into branding.
Okay, thank you so much for filling us in. We're so happy that you're here with us. I know there's so many of us out there that just want to understand the concept of what is personal branding and how does it differ from professional branding, correct? So can you tell us a little bit about growing up and what your values were as far as education and how your parents value that as well?
Yeah, so I was born in Liberia. And my family immigrated here after there was a civil war. And so we immigrated to the States. And I think for a lot of immigrant families, I don't want to generalize, but education is always seen as the way like out or up or just to really solidify a new life. Mm-hmm. So education was always top priority for my family. And even more so, my parents got divorced when I was really young. And so my mom was very, very keen on making sure I was in top schools. Mm-hmm. And I grew up as a low income single mother household, but the education system that I was in, oftentimes I was the only Black girl in the classes, and they were super wealthy, which did not reflect my home life. You know, being in a different socioeconomic class, but also being an immigrant. And so a lot of times I kind of shied away from my own identity, or kind of like was confused about my own identity. And just with that, like I just was very heavy into the books, and I figured that if I didn't know my identity and couldn't really connect with people, I at least had the grades in the school to back me up.
Yes, yes. And I love that you just gave us a brief about where you're from and your family and everything. And I can definitely relate with you being an Ethiopian woman, but also being African American woman and experiencing culture shock and just not feeling like you belong at times because you're trying to navigate and belong to two different cultures. Mm-hmm. And especially with immigrant parents, you know, they want you to always be perfect, to be top scholar, and that can put a lot of pressure on an individual. So happy that you were able to share with us. I know there's other individuals that can relate with you on that. So what would you say was the impact of, you know, being raised with a single mom, or, you know, experiencing culture shock or feeling like you don't belong in because of having to navigate both cultures?
And I know we're gonna get into this a little bit later, but one of the things that I can now look back on and recognize is that I always operated as a shell of myself. Like, I think actually my story and a lot of people's stories are very beautiful. And even though it's not pretty, it's not that cookie cutter that we think that we need to have, but my upbringing definitely has shaped me into a stronger and more relatable person. And despite the challenges, like I still feel like I show up as a very graceful woman and a woman of God. I think that I definitely operate as a shell of myself, and like sometimes I look back and I wish I was like could have been more, you know, louder about being, you know, being a Liberian American, or you know, our food, like the food is so good. And I was like afraid to like showcase all of that, and it was very hard. And then even transitioning into like my adolescent years and into adulthood, I am now realizing just how much of an impact living as a shell of myself really had on me, which is why I do what I do, because at the end of the day, personal branding is storytelling. And it's, I do think it's really important for people to share their stories, not for themselves, but like for the other people who need to hear it as well for encouragement.
Yes, yes, yes. Because you never know, as you said, Sandy, who can relate with you. You never know who's out there experiencing the same journey in their life as you had. And it's very powerful that you're able to use that as a vessel to just be of service to people and help them be themselves and be transparent about who they are. Because I think most people, when they think about personal branding, I think they think that they have to be similar to what someone else is doing or have to mimic what they're doing. But from my understanding, personal branding is you, who you are, and trying to connect with your audience. But I know we're going to talk more about that, so I don't want to unlayer that yet. Yeah. So would you, how has your cultural background influenced your approach to personal branding? Just speak a little bit more about that.
Well, and it's kind of funny because obviously I don't have an accent, but I very much do identify as being Liberian. Especially coming from an African household, they will never let you forget where you come from. But I think that, like, culturally, I am an African American, and so, you know, there's like that whole world, and then but I'm also Liberian. And there's that whole culture as well. So it's always being able to confidently blend those two worlds together. And for me, I think that being Black isn't a monolith. Like, there is all shades and flavors of the story. And I really want to embrace that. And yeah, I hope
that was you explained it really well. And thank you so much for explaining how, you know, your culture impacted your current approach to personal branding. So what inspired you to make the transition from working corporate America to now being an entrepreneur?
Yes. Quite frankly, I think I had like not a midlife crisis, but the quarter life crisis. Basically, what happened was, after years of living as a shell of myself, is like what I call that, like, I always knew I wanted something more and to be more impactful to people or in the work that I did, but I didn't necessarily know how that was going to come out. And I was always ashamed, like not ashamed, but shy of really embracing my identity. Because again, I went from being like Liberian American in a very white, wealthy education system, also going to college at a PWI, and then going into corporate America without even digesting all the stuff that I had faced growing up. And so I being in corporate America, I very much felt like I didn't know how to bring my full self to work. And I didn't know how to embrace all the aspects of who I was and who I am. And it literally felt like it just, like, that feeling got louder and louder. Like, I would move jobs within the banking sector all the time, trying to figure out, like, what was my thing, and nothing stuck. And so, one, I started, like, realizing social media, like, I liked how people on social media were able to show up as themselves. I put that in quotation marks because clearly, obviously, like, social media is a little bit nuanced, but people were just talking and telling their own stories on social media. And I realized, I was like, I don't really have a space for that. And so I started experimenting with content creation and, you know, getting into the weeds of, you know, the strategies and the like search engine optimization, all that within marketing. And I realized that I really like this, and particularly the strategy part of like how to go from A to Z. Because that is essentially the journey I'm on, going from corporate to creative entrepreneur. And I was always helping others around me like strategize like their own business launches or their own ideas. So I decided that for me, I needed to go into it full time, and the whole like 9 to 5 and then your 5 to 9 life, that was not for me. And so I put my faith in God, and I made that leap of faith in 2023, literally February of 2023, after a couple months of attempting to do the 9 to 5 and 5 to 9 life. And so, yeah, I took that leap of faith, and I do not regret it at all. And it's so crazy because it proves that this is like what I was meant to do. But again, I was so afraid and not necessarily encouraged to share my story previously.
Thank you, Sandy. I love that, you know, you are inspiring us to take the first step, you know, when we are approaching life, right? And we're used to the standard ways of living, but our inner desire is to be of service to ourselves and to others. It's definitely scary at that time, you know, to take the leap and not know what's going to happen, not know, okay, will I succeed? And I appreciate you for inspiring our listeners to take the leap. And if they desire something else outside of their 9 to 5, not to say that it's 9 to 5 is bad or anything, but it's just for those that aspire more than that, it's okay.
Yeah. Oh, and I definitely try to be careful of that, because there is nothing wrong with a 9 to 5.
Yes.
And in fact, I think I was able to make that transition because of the skills that I did learn working in a 9 to 5. But it's not for everyone, and you have options.
Yes, 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 yes. This is for the entrepreneurs, by the way. So when making that transition, right, from working in corporate America, how was that transition for you as far as your well-being, your mental state? And how did you have to take a course to learn how to do personal branding? Like, what was the first step?
Yeah. Oh, the mental state was, it was good. I was actually in therapy. But it was almost as if God was like, you need to leave. Because throughout the entire year, I did so much self-development and just like introspection, like looking back at my life and like understanding, just like I went from feeling very constricted to like feeling very free and like having this understanding that the world is mine and I get to decide, you know, through the grace of God, but I get to decide how I want, you know, to show up in the world and how I want my world to look. And so that was kind of like a mental adjustment, and literally everything down to like time. Like, I wasn't forced into a 9 to 5 life anymore. It was, I can go work out at 1 p.m. if I wanted to, and it fit in the schedule. So it was like letting go of all the structure that like have been like placed on me, and like figuring out what it is I wanted for myself,
yes, and
what the world around, like how I wanted that to come to fruition. So that was, it is an adjustment. That definitely was an adjustment. But the way I jumped into it, I started taking a lot of courses, digital certifications or digital marketing certifications. I took master classes. Mm-hmm. I did workshops. I networked. I reached out to people who had more expertise. And then I also would like find startup companies to practice digital marketing, email marketing, brand design and strategy. I started teaching myself the Adobe Creative Suite. Like, I went full force into this, and I just love the variety of it too. And eventually I connected with, and again, this was all me being able to just like share my story of, hey, I went from this to this, and I want to do, you know, want to be in the marketing space. This is what I'm interested in. As I was working with different clients, I really got interested in the brand strategy aspect of things, of what story are you telling at the end of the day? When people go to your social media page or they hear your name, what is it that comes up for them? And that is that's a whole strategy. And I really, really like that. And so I ended up connecting with the founder and CEO of a personal branding agency. And she really like took me under her wing, and like I had some experience, and then she just opened me up to the entire world of personal branding. And again, like I realized that that's what I wanted, helping other people to craft their stories so that it resonates with a particular audience. I mean, that is like my own story really resonates with that. And so I love that I get to layer that.
Thank you so much. You gave us so much gems right now. And, you know, it's very important that you spoke about the training that you took, the connections that you made, networking, and really just digging deep into really understanding what personal branding is and how you could be an expert in that. You know, because when we think about personal branding, we think, okay, let me just post a video of me doing this. But it all goes into the whole, you know, analyzing part. Why am I posting this? And what am I trying to relay? And it just requires a lot more analyzation and skill sets. And I'm happy that you spoke on that.
Yeah. It definitely is a strategy that requires a lot of, like, reflection. I actually say personal branding is a form of self-discovery, actually, like, because it is a process. And for example, when clients come to me, we do like 6 to 7 weeks of interviews. Right. Like, to say that is always like mind blowing, but then you get into it and you're like, yeah, I see why this is 6 to 7 weeks. But the whole point is so that I can craft the right story in the right like tone and voice and messaging, so that it's not just posts online. It is a post that reflects the value of this person and the value that they offer to other people.
Makes sense. Yeah. It's a whole analyzation of what, like you said, it's about helping the person be themselves, but at the same time using strategies, right? So you can't just go posting just to post. So I'm happy that you clarified that. So for someone looking to work with you as a personal brand strategist, what can they expect and what skill sets would you help them encompass?
The skill set that I can help them with is identifying the three. I personally believe that you should focus on your top three, like, I guess, like content pillars or themes that embodies who you are. And a lot of people struggle with that because they're like, oh, I'm multifaceted or I'm multi-passionate, and like I am too, which was really also hard for me. But when you're posting online, people need to be able to easily like understand who you are and digest who you are, which is why I always say come up with like three. I help them identify the three themes around who they are and the value that they bring in their interests. And then from there, we dive into just, you know, what experiences have you had? What has been the most iconic moment in your life, and what has been maybe not the most iconic moment? What lessons have you learned? What would you share with, you know, maybe your younger self or someone else going through the process? Then it's like, what is your North Star? What is your vision? Where are you trying to go? And that portion, like your North Star, of like where you're trying to go, is very important, because everyone loves a journey, right?
Yeah.
You saw the whole Risa Tisa.
Oh my gosh, yes. That went viral, by the way. But it was a story, right? The thing is, stories always sell. You know why? Because it's your personal, passionate journey. And yes.
And it's like, your journey will never be the same as someone else's.
No.
I love personal branding so much. Everyone has an opportunity in this, because your journey is not going to look like someone else's. Even your sibling, like, you guys internalize things differently, right? Yeah. So it's like, what journey are you going to take your community on? And if you can, then we connect where you've been, the lessons you've learned from there, and then where you're going, and the vision that you have. And then we bring that strategy together to come up with those three themes, so that we can come up with content. Mm-hmm. And we decide, does it make sense to post on Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok? Or does it make sense to reach out to podcasts or digital publications to get your story or your message out there? There's levels to this.
Yes. And I love that you were just telling us all of the goodness and all of the information and how you help your clients, because, you know, as you said, personal branding, there's a lot of layers into it. It might sound simple, but it's a lot of layers into it, requires a lot of work, and it's fun. Mm-hmm. As you're, you know, learning more about yourself.
Yeah. I heard this quote from, he is a business professional on YouTube, and he's a man of God, Myron Golden. Mm-hmm. And he said, basically, personal brand is being able to, and this is like another version of it, right? When you get into the business aspect of it, it's being able to sell what you want to who you want at the price that you want, and no one says anything about it. And I really like that, because I actually just posted on my TikTok about Beyonce not having a personal brand.
Yes, I saw you went in that one.
I'm surprised I didn't get more beehives coming after me.
It's probably because maybe they feel the same, or they know that you were just analyzing. It wasn't nothing personal. True. Yeah. So let's speak on that, right? I know you spoke about how Beyonce's branding, right? Personal branding. You felt as though she just opened up a hair care line, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And how you felt that doesn't really resonate with her personal brand. Why do you feel that way?
It's like, if she played it right, it could, because the whole, like, her mom, honestly, it would have made sense if her mom launched the hair care line, because her mom's a hairstylist, but, you know. The reason why I said that she doesn't have a personal brand is because she has had, well, one, she has had several business ventures, mm-hmm. not grow to scale. She's had perfume lines. She's had, she has her Parkwood Entertainment, her music label. She's had several clothing lines, and they all don't exist today. And I believe that it's because when we think of Beyonce, we think performer, we think dancer, singer, just all of that. But then there's not much more to her. All these things are great, right? One of my friends told me, she's like, she's a celebrity of the celebrities. She has bodyguards around other celebrities. So it's like, yes, she is a brand, but her audience doesn't really know her beyond her being on the stage and giving us out of the box, music drops and stuff. So then when she goes to do business, it doesn't translate into success, because it's like, okay, but are you even wearing your Ivy Park stuff? Because we've never seen it. You don't talk to us about it. It's like, you, she does really huge launches, and then we don't see her in her own clothes, really. And so with this hair care line, it's kind of interesting, and I can actually send you the video that I'm talking about. But
okay.
She's doing and she rarely does interviews as well. Like, we rarely hear this woman's voice, and she posts on Instagram with no captions. So it's like a lot of layers of she doesn't put in a lot of effort into being a personable person to her to her audience. So with this hair care line, she's done a lot more interviews. She's been a lot more public. And I would love to see more of the story behind,
why she made the hair care line.
Why she made it, how she, she's known for her, this woman dyes her hair all the time. So it's how has she maintained a healthy, luscious hair? We don't know, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have that insight. So it's those small personal things that when we think of a personal brand, that makes your audience connect with you. Cause then they're you're using this product. I want to use it. Cause I want to feel one with this, this person that I do admire. So that was my whole rant about
it. No, I see what you mean though, as you're saying, okay, I see what you mean as far as, I love Beyonce, by the way, for all the Beyonce lovers. We love Beyonce, so this is not Bash Beyonce podcast. We're just talking about personal branding and giving an example of how one is not effective and how one can be successful later on in this episode. So mm-hmm. I do agree with you on what you're saying, Sandy, because as you're saying, personal branding is very vital, probably more vital than your professional branding, because with that is more, yes, it's about telling a story, but it's not so much as personal. And mm-hmm. I do agree with you that if you're going to promote something or push something, you got to either be using the product, living it, or just being transparent and more engaging with the audience. For me, what I'm learning as I'm building my personal brand, just be authentic, be myself, and actually do what I say that I'm doing when I'm posting the things, right? So living the skincare brand, right? Living that I engage in self-care daily, living that I'm a mother. Also living that I have natural hair and that I use natural products, and sometimes I braid my hair, and that's okay. So just being transparent about who I am, that resonates more with your audience, and they can actually connect with you quicker than when they see that you're trying to force something that doesn't really connect. So they can see that, plain mm-hmm. and simple. You can't hide that.
Yeah. And it's also a thing of, it's going to be hard to fake it for a long time, yes. Right? If you're not authentic, you can't, keep up the facade. I don't know. Maybe that's what happened with Beyonce and Ivy Park. She wasn't wearing her own stuff. But it is you have to be very consistent. And if you're not authentic, it's hard to maintain that consistency.
It is. It's a lot. It's a lot to keep up a persona that's not realistic. It's just a lot. It's just, all just gonna be transparent with ourselves and just really connect with audience. And I think that's why now I'm even just watching your post on TikTok and seeing learning from you where personal branding is, what to do and not to do, really has helped me reflect on, okay, all right, just be transparent, be yourself. Yeah. And don't worry about who's watching, who's not watching. Just be you. Yeah. Yes. And it's all about connection in the end of the day. That's really what personal branding is, connection. Just really trying to be of service to your audience. If you know about something, share it with them.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in a journey of embarkment, share it with them. If you're in a journey of even just overcoming a health problem, share it with them. And that's really what it's about. And I love that you just emphasize on that, about being transparent, about being able to connect your post to how it connects with your life, living your personal life branding. And thank you so much for telling us a little more about that. So moving forward, has your experience with working in corporate America influenced how you approach personal branding strategies currently?
Ooh, I love this question. A lot of times personal branding gets associated, which in the past it has been associated with just entrepreneurs and influencers. However, I think as a lot more younger people enter the workspace, I think there's going to be a need for personal branding. to be more like defined, maybe as like professional development in the corporate workspace, because not only do our younger people entering, but we hear the whole like bring your full self to work coming up. And it's like, but how do you actually do that? Especially if you're someone like me who had all these like life differences and didn't know how to show up in corporate America. And a way to do that is developing a personal brand and using social media to expand your network. And I think just me being able to, be a Black woman who had experience in corporate America and, sees the landscape of personal branding, I think that adds a very interesting lens to what like I can say about personal branding in corporate America. And the other thing I was going to say is that, like, and when I say social media, I mainly mean LinkedIn. It is a great way to just, talk about the things that you like, but then make sure that the right people are seeing, like, your content. So if it's senior leaders, sure, you're going to show up in the office, button up and all great, but, like, you have a personality. You have a whole, like, identity outside of that. Let people see that. And if they don't, I don't know, personally, if they don't want to see that, then it kind of shows the workspace that you're in. But
yeah, probably not for you. But I love that you spoke about using LinkedIn for personal branding. So speak a little bit about that. How can somebody use LinkedIn for personal branding? And yes, how can they use it?
Well, especially if you're an entrepreneur or a professional, definitely be on LinkedIn. It is the, not only be on LinkedIn, but like post content on LinkedIn. It is one of the easiest way to grow an audience right now. I think like by only 5% of people on LinkedIn are content creators.
Oh, wow.
So if you start posting, you are literally on the early wave of being a LinkedIn influencer. Excuse me. But I would, obviously it's a more professional platform, and I would make your content as easy as possible for people to read and understand. Be consistent in like the kinds of things you're talking about, which is again, going back to the three topics or the three themes that you want on there. And make sure that you're also engaging with other people and like commenting on other people and, growing and expanding your network, because the more people that engages with your content, more people will see it, especially if you're a business person. That is going to be very huge. And one of the things I like about using LinkedIn is that anytime someone likes your content, it shows to their entire audience. So if someone with 20,000 followers likes your content, their whole entire community will now see your content. So again, it's one of, it's such a great way to expand your network. And within, when I first started posting, because I started experimenting with branding on Instagram and TikTok. And so when I transitioned over to LinkedIn, I grew my following count from 300 to over 2,000 within 3 months.
Wow.
And now, for example, I know that every time I make a post on LinkedIn, I gain about 150 followers just now. It's like a snowball effect. Like, the more you do it, the more consistent you are, and you engage with people, you grow that network. And it's so nice, because then, like, you reach out to people and they're like, oh, like, it's not just some random person. Like, they have, it's kind of like a digital resume, essentially.
It is.
Yeah, so.
And people get a sense of who you are, like you said.
Right. And I think it is a little bit more curated in the sense that people, like, you're not putting videos on there. That's actually really bad for the platform.
Thank you for letting us know, because we're all sitting here thinking, yes, we'll post a bunch of videos.
Yeah, no. And I actually recommend using LinkedIn if you don't like getting in front of cameras. Using LinkedIn you do it, like, definitely post, like, make your post with your picture of your face, but it doesn't, like, I literally take a quick selfie and slap it on there, but it's important to have the face with the content, so when people see your face, they know, oh, this is Sandy, she talks about personal branding and her career transition. But I am so happy I found LinkedIn, because that was also really helpful in being able to, you know, get comfortable with just speaking my mind to the world without having to be on video, because being on video is terrifying.
Yes. Sometimes, yeah, I can definitely understand, it puts a little bit of pressure. Yeah. And being on the back of the screen just gives you more of a freedom to speak your mind. So I completely agree with that. And thank you for sharing this with us. I know for me, I'm very grateful that you shared with us that LinkedIn is the new way to grow your personal brand quickly. But also for those that don't prefer to be in front of the camera, is the best approach. So thank you so much. I definitely will be upgrading my LinkedIn.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Sandy. So can you share some obstacles that you faced during your journey from corporate America to entrepreneurship? I know you spoke briefly about it earlier, but like, what would you say is like obstacles that you can remember that you faced?
I'm like, do you ever like overcome the obstacles of being an entrepreneur?
No, it was everyday process. No, I don't think so.
That's what I'm realizing. No, I'm kidding. I think one of the biggest things that I have honestly just recognized, even though I am someone who is a little bit more risk tolerant, like lot more okay with taking risks, obviously, is that I doubt myself a lot. And I think it goes back to the fact that for a lot of my life, when I had a thought, I never shared it because I was scared. And so no one was there to like encourage, you know, my creative idea, because I was afraid to say it. Same thing in college, same thing in corporate. And now that I'm an entrepreneur, it's, you have to say those things, right? Like, you have, regardless of, you know, you're scared or, you know, the fear of looking stupid, it's like, I'm realizing just how much, like, I doubt myself. Something that, like, is supposed to take me, or, like, does take me, like, 5 minutes, I freak out about it because I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I get scared and like, I'm thinking it's going to take me like 5 hours, and then I do it, and then it literally takes me 10 minutes. And I'm like, why did I do that?
Yes.
So doubt is definitely the obstacle that I like am overcoming. And I think also just being a content creator, and just wanting to get my message out there and like my mission out there and my purpose, it also means that I have to be comfortable with making mistakes in front of the camera. And like maybe I like said something really wrong in the Beyonce video, right? And then
yes, I get, no, you didn't. I'm not saying you did, but I'm
but like, for example, like what if I said something totally wild, and then like here I am building my audience and then cancel. No, I'm not canceled.
No, you're not. You're not.
But yeah, it is. But I also am like, it is those moments, like being able to make those mistakes is how you're going to learn, and how I'm going to learn. And I always think, this is like a kind of like morbid way of thinking of it, but it's like, I get to make these mistakes, and then I get to like share it with someone to be like, hey, don't do this because it will not work. Or like, I don't recommend that. So sometimes you just have to be bold. That's what I'm telling myself, at least, with my obstacles.
Thank you so much, Sandy, for sharing obstacles with us. And I can agree, you know, first when getting into entrepreneurship, that was one of the obstacles that I faced, shadow mind and like just focus. And what has helped me really manage that is systems. Systems do really help diminish or manage those obstacles that you face, because then it forces you to be grounded.
Yeah.
Forces you to kind of diminish those thoughts or those behaviors. So what approaches did you use to manage doubt and to doubt, and I think that's the one, to manage doubt?
Actually, it is, how do I say this? Essentially, I just am like, okay, that is, I just need to have the confidence of a middle-aged white man in corporate America or a multimillionaire. It's like, that is literally the thing.
Yeah.
So when it, like, now when stuff comes up, I am like, I have to ask myself, is this me doubting myself, or like, can I dig deeper and find the, like, the multimillion dollar white, middle-aged white man in me?
Bring him out. Yeah.
Right. And be confident, because some of these people are like, and I think I said this on one of my videos, people less qualified than you, me, are doing bigger things simply because they like had zero doubt in themselves. And so I really, like, I'm very big on mindset and like just making sure that you're not like acting on your emotions, like doing things even if you have fear, you know,
because that's
what courage is, doing things even if you have doubt. Because a lot of times, like, those things hold us back, and I don't want to be held back. And I would say I also spent a lot of time in therapy to do a lot of the work to show up as my most confident and best version of myself. I do think that has helped me cultivate who I am today in this very moment, especially after transitioning from corporate America.
Yes, thank you so much, Sandy. I love, you gave us so much just gems, and I love that you spoke about, you know, just putting a hat on, right, and being that white man in corporate America, and just, you know, bringing on that inner confidence. But most importantly, I love that you spoke about therapy, right? Because I know that we currently live in an era where therapy is currently growing, right? More people are attending therapy, but there's still some of us, especially in our community, that kind of thing that if you get therapy, that it means that there's something wrong with you. It means that somebody's going to try to manipulate your mind or bring out, you know, inner deeper thoughts that you don't want to face yet. And I love that you spoke about how therapy was a powerful tool for you and helped you manage doubts that you faced or manage obstacles that you faced in your journey to being a personal brand strategist. For me, I love therapy. Because, of course, I'm a social worker, BSW I have in social work. But most importantly, because I see that the tool and the power that it has and really helping you be the best version of yourself and be okay with either dealing with your obstacles or facing trauma that you endure throughout your life. Never really goes away, but it's about managing it, right? It's about being okay with and accepting it. And I love that you emphasize on therapy being one of the tools for you, helping you manage your obstacles. So how would you define personal branding?
Personal branding is telling your story to the world to accomplish a mission that you have. And again, I like that quote that I mentioned earlier from Myron Golden, it is who you are, being able to show up as who you are, sell what you want at the price that you want. But that all comes down to the story, right? So personal branding is just being able to tell the right story in the way that is authentic to the right people. At the right price.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. I'm gonna have to get that quote, put it right in my house, in the office. I love that. But thank you so much, Sandy, for just telling us your definition of it and making us understand that it goes beyond just thinking about it as personal branding, but it's a lot of layers into it. So what do you believe are the key elements individuals should focus on when approaching their own personal branding?
One is, what value can you offer to people? And that's a big question, but it's, what lessons have you learned that you can share with other people? Or the second one is, what is your mission? What is your vision? Where are you taking us in your journey? That is definitely those, strongly those two. And then learn how to tell a story. Okay, go and study Risa Tisa.
Yes, it's just layers. And I love how she did it, because you just kept, like, she kept you just focused on the screen, and you're like, what's coming next? What's coming next?
I downloaded TikTok on my TV.
Just to watch it. See, that's great storytelling right there. Like, that's amazing. Luckily, I was able to find it on YouTube after just digging around for about an hour. But like you said, like, the story really is vital, right? Mm-hmm. It can even get your audience to go and find different approaches and ways to just tune into your story. And I love that you're emphasizing that.
Yeah. Like, learn how to tell a story. Because that will do you some, like, wonders. And then, yeah, what is your mission, your vision that you're taking your community on? Mm-hmm. And then what value are you bringing to the table? What lessons have you learned that you can share with other people? And whether you want to do that in a, like, comedic way, or, like, you know, sit down and talk to the camera, or whatever, like, suits you, mm-hmm. and is authentic, just, yeah.
So what do you recommend for somebody that's, like, camera shy, but really, really wants to be out there telling their story? How would you advise them to record themselves telling their story?
Yeah, I have a couple things. Either start off recording, like, doing a voice memo recording, mm-hmm. of you just speaking out some of those thoughts. Because I think a lot of times the issue comes with, again, we have, like, we're multi-passionate, multi-faceted individuals. There's a lot coming out at once, and then you don't know how to be concise. So just start by getting your thoughts out and just speaking that. Either speaking into the voice or writing it out. Then secondly, I've seen people do stuff where the camera isn't directly on them. It's like they're getting, like, a side shot, and it's, like, speaking to a friend or something.
Oh, wow. Wow, I like that.
Because at the end of the day, people just want to hear... People just want to hear...
No, you're fine.
They want to hear your voice, and they want to see you in person.
Yeah.
So you can do that, like, have the camera off to the side. And then lastly, one thing that I utilize a lot is, you can record your entire life and then just do a voiceover. Like, you don't have to, like, sit down and speak to the camera.
What are some future trends or changes we can anticipate in the world of personal branding?
I think we're going to see a lot more. I think personal branding has been, well, two changes. One, I think personal branding has been very much for, like, the entrepreneurs and the influencers on social media. However, I do think it's going to transfer over into corporate America, mm-hmm. As a way for people to expand their networks and show up as themselves fully. And especially because as Gen Z enters the workplace, they're always looking for authenticity and being individuals and not really being, you know, having their full identity aligned with the workplace, mm-hmm. right? They want to be themselves. And then on top of that, we have Gen Z also taking over baby boomers in the workplace this year. Yeah. So I think that's going to be more prevalent. And I think, like, a lot of similarities between Gen Z and millennials are happening, which is, like, the individual being individual, showing up and stuff. So I think if you're a professional in the 9-to-5, it's going to become more of a thing, because then you can expand your network, you can seek out other like opportunities, you can like, and then companies are going to be interested in hiring someone who, sorry, I'm going on a tangent here, but this is actually going to be, I think, help pull this together. If you have a project manager who has 10 years of experience and has great resume but doesn't really have a LinkedIn profile, maybe a photo title, cool. Then you have someone, project manager B, who has maybe 2 years of experience, 3 years of experience, and but they are constantly posting about different like systems and methods or maybe projects to some degree about online. And now when a recruiter goes to look at your profile, they're going to take the one who they're going to be more interested in the one who has showcased every like all their insight and their knowledge and the value that they have in management. Because instantly they're able to display a level of trust in the work that they can do. And they're essentially like a little influencer. And I think that's going to be a bigger thing for professionals moving forward. And then lastly, I feel like personal branding has been very vague in the past. Like it has always been a thing, but I think more and more people are like, oh, if I want to get to the coins, I'm gonna need a personal brand. I think that's gonna become a lot bigger. And so it's, figure it out now before that whole thing becomes saturated.
Yes, and there's so many people doing it now, and it's kind of more competitive as it is right now, currently, in a sense, because there's so many people, like there's so many herbalists, there's so many gymnasts, there's so many stylists, there's so many barbers, there's so many of this talent out there, and that if we don't hop on it and really understand what our personal branding is, we just take us a longer time to really perfect it and really connect with our own audience. So I love that you emphasize on that and said, get on it now before it gets saturated and it's harder to, penetrate the field or the industry. So as someone who helps others build their personal brands, what kind of legacy or impact do you hope to leave through your work?
I really hope I get to empower people to share the stories that they don't want, not that they don't want to, they don't think is going to help someone else. Because like I said, I think personal branding is sharing your story with the world. And I can't tell you enough how like hearing other people's story has really empowered me. So like my legacy is I want to help people get to where they like want to be and where like whether that be like their business or their own personal brand, but also sharing the stories that don't get shared and that need to be shared so that other people can be empowered by your story. That's what I want to help people do.
Thank you so much, Sandy, for being here with us today. You definitely inspired us to be more thoughtful about personal branding. And you taught us some skills that we didn't know about LinkedIn and so on, and approaches that we can use. So we do thank you for coming here and sharing your expertise with us. So as we conclude this interview, can you share some words of wisdom with our listeners?
Yes, okay. I think everyone's story deserves to be shared. And I also think it is your choice to decide to, do that work to share it, to even understand your own story. But I really hope people understand that like sharing like your journey with other people is very empowering. For those who are new and for those who are, in the game for 10 years. I think we can all learn from each other. But we gotta let go of the fear of looking stupid.
Yes. Thank you so much, Sandy, for being here with us today. It was definitely a pleasure speaking with you. I love your vibe, I love your energy, and I love all of the wisdom that you just presented to us today. We look forward to having you back on the episodes to teach us more about personal branding and to let us know, you know, what you have in store, what's currently happening with you. To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning to another episode of the Sunday Service Podcast. All of this is possible because of you. So please be sure to tune into this episode and all of our other episodes.